The rule of joy and the law of duty are one. The rule of joy and the law of duty are one. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. The rule of duty and the rule of joy and the law of duty are one. Rex was just trying to get my attention here. The rule of joy and the law of duty are one. So, the rule of law is that I am myself and I have fun. I am myself and I have fun. Now, what does that mean to be yourself and have fun? What does that mean? Does that mean when you are yourself, you're doing all those things that make you happy? When you are yourself, are you doing all those things that tickle your tickle bone? I was just scratching Rex on the chest here, and he says, that's good, do it some more, Dad. Is it tickling yourself on your chest bone, like Rex likes to be done? Or he likes to roll on his back on the floor and wiggle around and give himself a good massage? Do you like to do that? Is that your rule of joy? If your rule of joy is being yourself and having fun, you know? You got a problem with that?
Nope.
No. Okay. Then, the law of duty and the rule of joy are one. Now, the law of duty says you choose to do whatever you say you are going to do. You are yourself and you're responsible for yourself. The rule of law of duty is one with the rule of joy because you enjoy doing whatever principle defines. What does principle define? Does principle define that for good thoughts you get good results? Does principle define that for positive attitudes you get positive results? Does principle define that if you give rotten attitudes you get rotten attitudes back? Isn't that so simple? Why would anyone give rotten attitudes out if they know they're going to get rotten attitudes back? That's the rule of joy. That's your joy in giving out such nonsense, you know? And, well, I would think your joy would be giving out love. Oh, boy, you know. Yes, Rex. Every time Rex hears the word love, he says, snuggle me, huggle me, you know? Yes, yes. And everybody else, too. But your rule of joy is love. Your rule of law is all things that you desire to experience and feel happy about experiencing, you put them into motion in your consciousness and you have them. It's just that simple. It takes nothing else. That's the rule of law. Now, are you willing to pick that rule of law, that law of duty, and put it to work in your life? Now, that means one thing. You have to think before you speak. Now, generally speaking, we tell you, take your first thought. Well, I might amend that. Take your first thought when you are a master consciousness. You see, if you're not a master consciousness, see, a master consciousness only thinks fantastic, beautiful, joyous things that delight his soul and being himself and having fun. That's what a master consciousness does. But now, what does a schluck consciousness do? A schluck consciousness thinks that they can think negative thoughts and get away with it. Can you think badly about another person and get away with it? Who knows? It's going to come back at you 100-fold. That's, you know, when you give, it comes back 100-fold. Joy, you give joy, it comes back 100-fold. You give schlucksness, you give badness, you give unhappiness, it comes back 100-fold. You see? See, I would like to just pretend that the people of my world are coming into my world, and of course, I don't have to pretend this, I can know this because I'm the creator of my world. I create coming into my world people who are just waiting for me to cap them off. They're coming with their pure heart, their pure soul, their innocence, their genuineness, their loveliness, their gloriousness, you know? It's like a little child. A little child is coming out of the womb and is coming out of the toddler stage and so forth, and every time a mother says, no, 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 the little child says, oh, that's what I want to do, you know. And every time the mother says, yes, 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 the child says, I don't want to do that, you know. So you'd say the mother should change it around. No. The mother should expect the child to do the right thing. This morning I was walking the path. I'm always walking the path. And I had a wonderful walk, not very long because I had a short time before I could get here. And as I walked the path, as usual, there was a horde of flies and gnats that flew around my head. I don't know why they like my head. Probably because it's so beautiful and so joyous and so happy and so on. And as they were flying around my head, I thought to myself, I would rather have them be somewhere else. And so I said, I don't want to say I don't want them flying around my head, because they're going to just take that as a challenge. And I don't want to say that they're flying somewhere else, because that's none of my business to tell them what they should be doing. My business is, who am I? I am the pure white light of love. I surround myself with harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances. I surround myself with harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances. Well, the beings I surround myself with are people that are making my life a delight, not making it a distraction, like brushing the flies off, you know. And so, as I spoke this, knowing what I meant that I created my world only those harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances that delight me. They weren't there anymore. All those bugs that were flying around my head weren't there anymore. They were gone. And I thought to myself, is this really for sure? I said, where are you, bugs? And then there they were back again. There they were back again. I thought, my, you are on instant call, aren't you? And so then I said again, I surround myself with my pure white light of love. All my ways are peace and all my paths are pleasantness. And I am surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances. Well, lo and behold, the instant I said that, they took off to wherever they wanted to go. I didn't really care. It was their business. But they were just coming to me. I know, because they wanted to be around the good vibrations that I was sending out from my crown chakra there. And they were just having such a good time whirling in my vibrations and my charisma and my light. And I thought, hey, that's okay, but you know, I'm surrounded by what I want to be surrounded by, you know. So they were gone again. But now, you see, you say, well, Herb, you can do that because you're experienced in that. You're trained. That's right, I'm trained in that. That's right, and you can be trained too. It just takes a matter of training and believing that your word is whatever you speak it for. And of course, you don't really want that. You don't want your word to be what you speak it for, because you say, oh, you're terrible, you're bad, or you don't do things right, or you always do things wrong. And you know, you don't want to empower those things. Well, Herb, you say those things too sometimes. That's right. We have a school here, and I say those things as a teaching program to our people here, because I want you to get irritated as hell with me and say, I don't say those things. I say, oh, goody, 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 you know. And I'm so happy when you don't say those things. But, you know, sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to wake people up to what they're doing, because they don't know. Or not necessarily wake them up to what they're doing. Wake them up, if you will, to what they could be doing and should be doing to get the results they want. Now, what is the rule of joy? To be happy and have fun, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Yes. And now, what is the rule of law? To be happy and have fun.
Right.
And all things that make you happy and all things that make you have fun. And negative thoughts don't make you happy, do they?
No.
And happy thoughts make you happy.
Yes.
Wow, how simple that is. And that's the law of cause and effect. The law. You put the law in motion, saying happy thoughts, you got happy thoughts. Well, Herb, that is so simplistic. That's right. That's right. You know, a great master came along 2,000 years ago. You know how I'm talking about. Our old buddy Jesus. Well, Jesus said a lot of things, and he was misquoted often. But the thing is, many of his things got through somehow. I don't know how they succeeded, but they did. And anything that's contrary to love, Jesus didn't say. Somebody else wrote it in there, and you can believe me. So, our buddy Jesus, he went around teaching everybody with, you know, what were they called? Metaphors?
Parables?
Just simple little parables, simplistic little parables. And did everyone understand what he was saying? Yes. Did they understand love your neighbor like yourself? Yes. So simple. And then Jesus decided to cap it all off. And he says, I give you two commandments that shall go beyond any commandment you've ever received. They're not going to destroy the law and the prophets. They're not going to take away all that you've ever learned, because that's there, you know. But they're going to give you a new commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy being. And where is God? Within you. That's what he said. The kingdom of heaven is within you. He said that. And love your neighbor like you love yourself. Now, how do you love yourself? If you love yourself in a very positive, beautiful way, that's the way you love your neighbor. Now, he gave those two simplistic statements. So absolutely simple. You love yourself, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, you love yourself, and you love your creation like you love yourself. You see?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't need a lot of transliteration. It doesn't need a lot of translating to understand what he said. It's all quite clear, because everything he says dovetailed into these things. And what do we do? For 2,000 years, we put him on the cross. And he got off the cross, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And for 2,000 years, we've been feeling sorry for him, you know, because of the terrible tragedies he had to go through. He didn't have to go through any tragedies. To him, they were just like Hamlet and Shakespeare. When someone plays the role of Hamlet, they know that Hamlet's going to die at the end of the play, but they don't think they're going to die. They think that they are the actor. Well, Jesus was the great actor. He was the great actor, showing that the last enemy man would overcome his death. He was a great actor doing these things, and he had fun, and he was being himself. Do you think he walked faster than he wanted to? No. Did he wear the finest robe in the countryside? Yep.
Seamless.
Was he respected by everybody? They'd look at him and say, oh, that's Jesus. Why didn't some people respect him, like the church? Because he was saying things that they should be saying, you know? He was getting to the hearts of the people that they should have been getting to. And he was competition. And you see, most messiahs that come along are not competition to the rabbis, because they are tricksters. And when a real messiah comes along, they don't know how to handle it, you know? And they say, when the Messiah comes, the whole Hebraic tradition says, when the Messiah comes, then we shall have the resurrection and the life. You know, then, and that's what the Hebrews believe, and that's what the Christians believe. I mean, the Christians are just like the Hebrews. It's really quite lovely. They think the same way, and it's very beautiful, and they have the same hang-ups. They use the Old Testament as their background, you know, and they use the New Testament as their foreground. And I tell you, the Jews, they know the New Testament too. Mm. Oh boy. And they know that Jesus was the Messiah. And they didn't kill him. You can't kill anybody or anything. All they did was to enunciate the fact that they were frightened. They were frightened of changing their book. They're going to have to rewrite their book. They were frightened about rewriting the book. And what do you do when you're frightened about rewriting a book, Ingeborg? What do you do?
I don't know.
You throw it out.
Throw it out, yeah.
When you are afraid of rewriting your book, throw it out and start over again.
Yes, that's the best.
And start over again. When people write a dissertation or thesis for us, and it is just contrary to what they have learned or should have learned in the course, we say, please throw it out. Or put it aside. It may be a monument to yesterday, but leave it aside and do a new one. do a new one saying what the book has taught you, what the book has shown to you. And if you don't believe what the book taught you and you don't believe what the book has shown you, then you shouldn't be finishing the course. You know what I mean? Because that's not your philosophy. So don't ever teach something you don't believe. And all of our students have believed it and taught it until they got out into the world. And then when they got out in the world, they found that it was much easier to proselyte the Christians than it was to create a whole new congregation for themselves. And so they threw back the Christian philosophy, doctrine, church rituals, and all that stuff. They bring it in, and they lose the punch that they could be giving to the people of having them find their purity, wholeness, their original purity and integrity right now. They lose that punch because they take them back into the days of God outside of themselves. And when they get to the days of God outside of themselves, then it's no longer their responsibility. You understand that?
Yeah.
It's no longer theirs. And hey, I understand that. And every religion that has a God outside of yourself, I understand it. Ernest Holmes was right next to having God inside. He was right next to it. He was right at the verge of it. But when he was in one of his conferences, in one of his congresses, he was telling the Congress about it. And they said, but we can't do that, because that's going to alienate. We're going to have to throw the book out. You know, we have to write a new book. And Ernest says, I'm game. I'll write a new book. No. This, you know, they wanted the status quo. They wanted to remain. And you see, this is what happens. And people write the New Testament according to Levi, or these other books that come out, you know, speaking to be it. And just like Muhammad. Muhammad wrote a book too. But Muhammad, instead of the pure soul that he was a scribe. He was a person who transcribed what he heard in his heart of the Old Testament, because he was well versed in them. He was well versed in these things mentally, you know. And so as he wrote the Quran, and as he wrote these things, and as he prepared them, it was just a duplication of the Old Testament and some of the New Testament. And hey, that's cool. But the thing is, it gathered the people away from other things or into itself, and it was it's a cool doctrine, it's a cool program. But the big problem of it is that it is trying to live yesteryear today. It hasn't woken up to living in the now. And when Muslim teachings, the Islamic teachings, wake up to it, then they will be fabulous. And when the Christian teachings wake up to living in the now, they'll be fabulous too, but they're living in a Jesus 2,000 years ago. They're not living in what he taught. You see, if they would live in what Muhammad had taught, Muhammad taught something quite different than what was in the book that gave him the power, you know. And many other great teachers are the same way. Now, what are you going to do? I know in some of my close associates here at the monastery how there is only one law, the law of cause and effect. There is only one motivation, the motivation of happiness and harmony and peace and joy. And there is only one way to do it, and that is putting the right cause in motion. And if we ever put the wrong cause in motion for what we say we want, then we don't really want what we say we want. And so we are hypocritical, and you're laughed at. You know, it's ludicrous. You look at a person who says, I'm whole and perfect, I'm home. Oh, I feel so bad. Oh, my, I got to go to the doctor. No, you can't put both together at the same time. I'm whole and perfect, and I'm going to the doctor and let him show me that I'm whole and perfect. That's okay. Although, if you're really whole and perfect, you don't need that either. But I don't say don't go. You understand that? Anytime a person feels a doctor is necessary and beneficial to them, go. And when he gives you pills, take those pills. Because those pills are no good to you if you don't take them. And if you don't take them as prescribed. And flow with it. And watch the miracles happen in your life. But if you could say, I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. And get yourself so psyched up in that philosophy, in that attitude, then That's your law. That's the rule of law that is putting into your motion, into putting into motion for you just exactly who you are. The law of duty, the duty of discipline and following the rules, you know? The law of duty. And humanity, unfortunately, has had very little interest in following the rules. Humanity has had very little interest in doing that. They want someone else to do it for them. And as long as that's the case, then that's good. The Atlanteans, if you recall, gave away their power to the scientists and engineers who felt, I'll press the button for you. I'll think the thought for you. And so the Atlantis was destroyed. Rome was destroyed because the Greeks were taken as their slaves, and the Greeks ran their households, the Greeks ran their business, the Greeks ran everything. And pretty soon, the mentality of the Greeks was the mentality of the Romans, and the Greek mentality was a relaxed mentality, not a busy day mentality, whereas the Romans were, gotta make it, you know, I'm in charge and stuff. And so, poof, they went by the way. They lost out to the invasion from within. They took the Trojan horse right into their Troy, you know, right into their community. And out of the Trojan horse came the army that beat Troy, you know. And it's a silly, silly, silly thing, isn't it? It's a silly thing. Now, in truth, that's the story that comes to us. But can you ever conceive of a horse large enough to have an army inside, on wheels, and that it's standing outside of a city, and the people in the city are going to shove it into the city to see what it's all about? Isn't that interesting? But you see, that's how fairy tales are all about. They have no rhyme or reason. They don't have any balance to them. They just say, if you give in to curiosity, you will soon be consumed by it. If you give in to following the rules of saying, I'm whole and perfect, saying, I am happy, what do we say? I like me. And
I like me, and all is in divine order.
And I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body.
And all is in divine order. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And be yourself
and
have fun. This, to me, is the impetus of this rule of joy and the law of duty that are ours to use if we wish. And if we don't wish, we should. I love you.
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 I love you.